At one point in your talk, you mentioned that ruminating on how one would like to change the world or the conditions around oneself can be a source of needless suffering. At the same time, it seems that there are times when one does want to work to change the world or how one's society is organized for the sake of loving kindness and alleviating suffering. For instance, in the case of social injustice or abuse, how do we engage with those desires for change in a skillful way?
I think one is that, and absolutely one, you know, one wants to be attending to it, but it's also attending to it skillfully. And I think one of the things is reflecting on causes and conditions, because it's so seeing processes rather than, because one of the things that is really toxic is setting oneself up in terms of, say, me and other, that division of me and other, putting oneself in opposition. And it's not just me individual, it's me and my group, and against that other group. And so that is a source of division. But when you start reflecting on the processes of within a society and the condition, what is it that's underlying, and how can one both be attuned to the humanity of people who are in need, but also the humanity of people who are the cause of the problem. How do we get through that? It doesn't mean that one doesn't understand or pay attention to it, or one dismisses it. But it's more like, because there's so much kind of righteous indignation, so much, and people feel that you should be nourished by anger and indignation, and it really doesn't. If one's going to commit oneself to change, one has to get used to looking at things from a big perspective, and a perspective how do we include rather than exclude? Because the reality is, as human beings, there isn't any other realm, there isn't any other world. How do we make it work so that those principles of loving kindness, it doesn't exclude. It doesn't mean one excuses or one doesn't recognize unskillfulness. It's really important to identify it clearly. But you want to pay attention to processes. And then you have to, drawing in more people. There's when I lived in Thailand, coming to America, I've been, it's a different society, different opportunity, different responsibilities, and I haven't been engaged directly with the sort of social movement so much. In Thailand, I had much more contact and projects that were very much in terms of social engagement. And one of the things that I learned was that you want to approach a particular problem with as open a mind as possible, and then see who it is might be willing to help, might be able to help. And sometimes it's really surprising. I did a lot of environmental work, but then it's also, if you're going to do environmental work, you need to do social development because you can't separate the two. And so then finding projects for people's livelihoods or bettering their quality of life. And sometimes I was working with the military. Never thought I'd work with the military. I've worked with some of the politicians. But if you put people into categories and don't recognize them as other human beings, then you end up separating and still end up in the causes of division. But there are the NGO that I set up years ago, it's still functioning, it's still committed, and because it's been around for a long time now, it does a lot of work in teaching and training other NGOs how to work, supporting other NGOs. So it's so I think that sense of just not being too idealistic, not separating, not dividing, and looking for people opportunities that will able to work together for this certain principle of and according to these causes and conditions, and that can change. And so it's being willing to be fluid.